to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry. You're listening to the Saturday Supplement. I'm Joe McGill. Now, Gary Branigan and Luke Eastwood have a new book out, and Luke, of course, resides in Dingle. The book is called Kerry Folk Tales, a vibrant collection of local tales handed down through generations of storytellers. And I caught up with him during the week to talk to him about the book. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by the co-author of the book, Kerry Folk Tales, Luke Eastwood, and the other author is Gary Branigan. Luke, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Luke, tell us, what's this book all about?
Well, basically, it's one of a series of books that covers the whole of Ireland, which is a book, you know, is for County Kerry. And what we did was just try and uncover as many interesting stories as we could from fairly recent times, going right back into the ancient past, and we tried to find a mixture of stories that people may be aware of and some that are quite obscure and they probably wouldn't have heard of.
Like what? What were the more obscure ones?
Okay, well, there's a good story about Owen Rua O'Sullivan. No, he's kind of known, but there wouldn't be an awful lot. The story is widely known. It was a good story I found from Don Quinn about the Carliac, which wouldn't be a well-known one. That's actually one of my favourites. Some of the more well-known stuff would be things like about Puck Fair and, you know, the story of Charlie Chaplin coming to Waterville. Oh, there's quite a lot of not well-known ones, like the story called the Gouge. And there's some stories about the Civil War and the War of Independence as well that might not be well known. There was a very strange story called the Moving Bog, which isn't probably very well known, but when it happened, it would have been big news. In fact, it was covered all over the world at the time.
Whoa. And can you tell us a bit more about that?
Okay, well, basically what happened, this was in the late 1800s, there was a huge bank of, I suppose, turf, really, a massive bog on a hillside that collapsed overnight, and it swept away an entire family and house, leaving just the family dog behind. A few other people narrowly escaped being killed, and the whole area was devastated. In fact, some of the peat got carried in as far as Killarney, and this was covered all over the world. I found old news reports from New Zealand and Australia, from the States, as well as from here in the UK, which, you know, was quite interesting, supply of information. They were, each of them had slightly different comments and quotes from different people at the time, you know? So that was really lucky to be able to find those.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And, you know, the title is, you know, Folk Tales, Kerry Folk Tales. So how much is actually fact or fiction or myth and legend? Because that sounds like, you know, you actually did hard research on it for facts on it.
Yes, well, we did a mixture of finding old stories and also was talking to some people as well. So what we've done in many cases is maybe combined several different versions, or we've kind of related a few, you know, variations. So some of it is based on, you know, hard facts, like, for instance, Roger Casement. You know, some of the older stuff is, you know, going back into legend. So that was obviously taken from what information we could find from, you know, stories that have been carried down over time.
There's, I suppose, you know, I just see the front cover, the King Puck adorns the front cover, a beautiful kind of painting of him there. There's, like, we did a series called Tall Tales, Little Voices that was broadcast in this programme where school kids would retell their local myths and legends. But there was quite a few theories behind the whole King Puck, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's, I mean, you could actually write quite a lot about that. what we've we only have one story there relating to Kim Puck, which is really the story of the origin of of the festival, really. But yeah, there would be in it, we found that in every locality there's slightly different versions of stories. You know, over time, you know, you'll get 15 different versions of the same story, not even in a large area, in quite a small area, that can happen.
Mm. And this is not just for kids, by the sounds of it. This is kind of for everyone, this book.
Oh, no. It's, it is hopefully easy enough for older children to read, but it is aimed at adults as well, like, absolutely.
How did the idea come about for to do this? Because I think it's important to bring to put this oral history down on paper.
Well, I don't know who came up with the idea for the series, probably the publishers, but Gary did Cavan Folk Tales, although he lives in Dublin. I think he's originally from there. And he was a bit snowed under and asked me to help him do it, because obviously I'm being living in Dingle. I have much easier access to people and to sort of archives, etc. So I went out and did a lot of the research, and it was very interesting to visit some of the more obscure places and to talk to a few people about it as well. I do think it is important to get these stories down, because in this modern age of social media, a lot of it could easily be lost, you know, which would be tragic.
Mm. And tell us a bit about yourself. Have you ever done anything like this before?
Well, not this particular type of project. I have done some writing, some books in the past, but this is my first attempt at actually writing on this particular subject. So it was a challenge for me to go off and do the research and try and find these little nuggets, these gems of information and stories that have a lot of them hidden away.
I'd say it's a quite daunting process in a way, I presume, to pick like what stories to pick, because you probably could do a series 2 and 3 on this.
Oh yes, actually, we did have enough stories written to make the book quite a bit longer. So I don't know if it would be a second volume, but yes, there's a lot more that could go into it, or could go into a second volume.
You mentioned, you know, the book that was done on Cavan, and I wonder, was Gary surprised by the amount of history we have down here and stories and everything else that goes with it? Kerry's unique in that way, I would imagine, although we think we are.
Well, I don't think he would have been surprised at all. I mean, there is an extremely rich history going back into the Stone Age, you know. Some of the earliest human sites in Ireland have been found here, certainly the oldest of some Neolithic burials, I think, are found here in Kerry, as far as I remember. And it's been a kind of focal point of a lot of culture. Supposedly the Tuatha Dé Danann arrived here in Kerry when they came to Ireland. So, I mean, it's been a place that's been rich in culture for literally thousands of years, you know.
Mm. You're an artist yourself, and you're a musician, but I see, you know, even from the press release alone, there's a wonderful kind of a pencil sketch done, I presume it's of St. Brendan's voyage with a whale and everything else. And who did the illustrations in the book?
Okay, yes, that's by Elena Danann. She lives in Dingle herself, and she's an artist, amongst other things. So she's actually a friend of both of Gary, and he asked her to do her previous book, Cavan Folk Tales, as well. So she's done two books in the series.
Mm. And you know, illustrations like that are so important to a book like this, aren't they? To really bring it to life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It really gives it an extra dimension, and really adds something special to the book. We were both absolutely delighted with the pictures that she did for it.
Do you know something that's come into my head there, though, and I presume it's something you found, but, you know, when you're researching these stories, you can get 101 different versions of some stories. I know that, like, in local areas, people have all their own different versions of it. And was that difficult to kind of sift through to get to the definitive version?
In some cases, it was a little bit difficult trying to decide what to leave out or whether to try and combine different versions or not, because it does make a difference. One interesting thing I came across recently was to do with Roger Casement, and there's a story that the milkmaid who saw him actually made him a cup of tea, and then apparently he loved it so much she made him another cup of tea. Well, that's a really interesting story, which isn't in the book, because actually all the research I found showed that no one actually met the three guys when they... So the three men came off the beach and they just proceeded straight up to McKenna's fort through the village. And although they were seen by this milkmaid who went off and told people, and that set the whole ball rolling that led to Casement arrest, they didn't stop. They didn't speak to anyone. So it's a lovely story, but it actually turned out to be actually completely untrue. And that has actually passed down from that time to the current day as being a true story, which it actually isn't. But I suppose, as people would say, why let the truth ruin a good story?
It's so true. Look, you know, this book, it encapsulates across many centuries, across many timelines. It represents all areas of the county. So what's your own favourite story out of the book, would you say?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think probably the one I like the best is The Calliac and the Don, which is, it's kind of grim, but a little bit funny as well. But I know I'm pretty much fond of all of them. But I think that might be my favourite.
It's like asking you to choose your children, I'd imagine. Choose your favourite child. Yeah. And so is it on sale now, or are you launching it, or where is it available?
Yes, it is in shops now, but we're actually having a launch for it on the 30th of the month in. A T-shirt in Dingle.
So that promises to be a great night.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. So there'll be a bit of music and refreshments and a bit of crack, hopefully.
Yeah. It's great to have you on to tell us all about it. And it sounds like something, like I said, it's for everyone. But I'd imagine visitors to the county would love a book like this as well to take away as kind of a souvenir as well.
Well, hopefully so, yes. Hopefully they'll be interested as well, you know.
Well, thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about it, and best of luck with it. It's available in all good bookshops now. It's Kerry Folk Tales, Gary Branigan and Luke Eastwood. And Luke, thanks a million for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Luke Eastwood there. We'll take a break and we'll have more after this.